They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Five Friday afternoon. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beatle.
My kid loves this song now. Play the car. He goes, hey, Dad, that's the one I was on the scoreboard.
Oh, that's right, because he got up on the big board at the Gillette when he was in the booth with you.
Yep, friends and teachers saw me. That was pretty cool. Things that make him happy.
Oh, Sarge is giving you a gift to give to your son. Look at that. That's a nice moment.
He's a big John Cena fan, right?
Are you serious? We're driving in today.
Yeah.
And Rich played the open.
Oh,
coming back
yeah.
from break. You're like, sup, Zoe? Sarge here. And then the Cena song kicks in. He goes out of nowhere. It's John Cena's song, Dad.
There you go, buddy.
I'm like, how do you know this?
Because he's of the appropriate age to be into wrestling.
Place the patch on Cena's. Wait a minute. This is a party game?
Yeah, they gave it to me.
I'm not playing no games with him at home.
It's like
weird.
A pin the tail on the donkey.
You don't know where you pin the tail.
You know what? Why don't you have a John Cena themed wrestling birthday party? When's his birthday? Like June?
Yeah, you can invite Jimmy and Sarge.
When's Brody's birthday?
It is this month. In a couple weeks.
That's right. It's right before mine.
March 28th.
That's right. It's right before mine.
Perfect timing, Zoe. Look at
that. Big 9-year-old.
So, Zoe, were you ever?
No.
Subjected to team meetings where there were things like morality-based that were discussed when you were playing either in at Maryland or with the Patriots or Dolphins, one of the teams you're with. Like, you know, boys, we're going to talk about something something not related to football here today. Did you ever have to sit through those meetings?
We never did, but times have changed, obviously. There was a NFL.com video that they put out at the start of the combine, They had it from, what was it, a 93 or 94 combine when Bledsoe and Meyer were in it. They had, like, Dan Reeves speaking out, like, we're not going to have any agents in here, and they're going to talk about this. It was more old school back then. Like, my meetings at night were with, like, George Young, who ran the Giants. Al Davis was sitting in meetings for us with the Redskins. It was Joe Gibbs, who was that? Oh, Bobby Bethard for the Redskins. So those are the type of meetings that I got interviewed in, sat in. It's old school football, guys.
Okay.
We're sitting there, and we're talking football.
Okay.
Now, all of a sudden, you get these team psychiatrists that add other layers to dig deep to see if we could trigger something in this man's head or background.
Well, now
it could be a problem moving forward.
Well, we're talking about something else. I was more talking about what the Royals did, but let's talk.
I
can see you.
I thought that's where you're
going. No. Let's talk about that.
We're
going
to do both here. Yeah.
Which do you want to start with?
Start with the football.
Okay. We'll start with the NFL team that asked a draft prospect.
I'm sorry, I thought that's what you meant by morality.
That's
another one.
Has nothing to do with morality.
Right.
An NFL team asked a draft prospect last week at the Combine if he liked men. This time it was asked a former LSU running back, Darius Geis. And this time the NFL needs to punish the offending team. This is from an editorial from the USA Today. Mm-hmm. Geis did an interview on satellite. He said,
what are they going to punish him for?
Some people are really trying to get in your head and test your reaction. I go in one room and a team will ask me, do I like men, just to see my reaction. I go in another room, they'll try to bring up one of my family members or something and tell me, hey, I heard your mom sells herself. How do you feel about that? What?
This is like Des Bryant all over again.
Pro Football Talk confirmed that the question was asked. They were the first to report the story and give the appropriate background. They said, it's a question that keeps getting asked of incoming players, regardless of how many times the fact that it was asked leads to a supposedly increased awareness regarding the importance of not asking questions like this. 2 years ago, cornerback Eli Apple faced the question in a pre-draft interview with the Falcons. The NFL dubbed the question disappointing and clearly inappropriate, and the league vowed to look into it. 3 years before that, a team asked another player if he liked girls. which is the same way of saying, do you like men?
Yeah.
Fleek dubbed the topic impermissible, said that persons asking such questions would be subject to discipline. Do you like men? Do you like girls?
I like you guys. I like girls.
Now, you could 100% see a team saying, yeah, we're asking that to see how he reacted to it. We want to see if he's homophobic.
We want to see if he gets angry.
No, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. You're trying to it doesn't matter what you're trying to find out. Ask something else.
You're trying to find out if the player's ignorant or not. Seriously.
Are you?
Like, a little shocking.
Or they may be trying to find out if a guy's gay.
Remember Armageddon? When they bring all the wackos in? They got the big fat guy that comes with the pennant.
Yeah.
Then they're doing the flip cards through, here. First reaction. Here's a picture.
This is Harry telling me I'm not doing it right. This is Harry telling me to stay away from
now,
his daughter.
Like he's crazy. So we're sending him up in space with an actual nuclear weapon, and this is probably going to end badly. So it's sort of that ilk. But what they're doing is you're trying to find a switch, a trigger inside the head. Is there, are we dealing with a person that can't potentially handle a situation that may occur down the road to where you could have an openly gay teammate within your locker room? So if you're going to fly off the handle and answer it negatively, you're probably going to lean away from that person if he can't handle that. In this day and age, 2018, to where it's what it's talked about, how people view it now. And I know there are sectors and people in the country that don't like it. But when you're sitting there and you're getting ready to interview somebody, I think you could handle this differently, these interviews. These questions are not good, obviously, based on the Des Bryant history here. Is your mom a hooker?
Right.
I mean, that's
your
not going to go over well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because wasn't it Jeff Ireland in the Miami Dolphins? Sort of under Parcells. I think Parcells was sort of overseeing that thing at the time where he was the consultant. Not sure, but I thought it was Jeff Ireland and the Dolphins that asked Des Bryant that during the combine.
Hmm.
Or another player.
It was.
It was.
It was. It was Ireland.
You
when
say
he was
you say Atlanta. The Atlanta Falcons did it. Guess who? Or a year ago. Guess who's running that? That's Pioli and Dimitroff. So it's all these are like former Parcells guys.
Well, that
why is this question being circulated?
That begs the question.
Why are we asking this question?
Who asked it? According to the NFL draft site, Walter Football, Geis had formal interviews with the Steelers and Bills. And then someone from Newsday said the New York Jets and Giants also met with him. So there's four possibilities right there of who asked the question.
Mm.
Steelers, Bills, Giants, or Jets. Quite frankly, I could see it happening. You know, who's running these interviews? Especially at the Combine. It's not the GM. Was at the combine all the time. It's not the GM sitting down
who does the interview. I think it would be Bill and Casario. Yeah.
You think
if
so?
If you have the selected prior private interviews. Yeah. Go back to Patriots.com. They posted up a video room where Nancy Myers walking, I think Megan, one of the KSP girls, through the process. So they give you an inside look as to what the interview is. And they each have a room at the Crown Plaza, and it's all decked out in Patriots gear. And this is where we sit down. We go over the film with the player, and I think it's Bill and Casario.
We keep talking about whether or not, you know, an NFL team is ready for an openly gay player to be on the team and be in the locker room. And, you know, when that's going to become, you know, more of a thing. I don't even worry about the players as much as I worry about the guys running the team. They're the ones who are
going to... It's kind of like, you know, going back to the owners and, yeah, you're going to stand for the flag, you know. There's these time gaps to where you can't adapt to what society is now.
Who's going to muck it up? The guys who actually get along with everybody and actually work well together and hang together, and what you do in your personal life makes no difference to me, or is it the owners who are out there asking these questions, saying things like, oh, we got the prisons, or we got the inmates running the prison. You know, these people in the positions of power.
What if it's an inmates running the asylum? Is that different? Like, did he get screwed up in words? I get screwed up in words every damn day.
You know what?
You know what I'm saying? Hey, the common phrase is the inmates running the asylum. But that's not like down the middle.
Not
racist
in
any way.
It probably doesn't get the same play
as the saying.
As the inmates running the prison. You're right.
Now we got the inmates.
But still,
convicts.
That's in his head somewhere, and he said it.
Yeah.
Who's really going to prevent gay players from participating in all levels of major sports.
Yep.
The other players or the owners and coaches and GMs?
We're on the road. We all shower together. I mean, I don't know. There's no individual
showers.
Do you
care?
No, I don't care.
Of course not. The players don't care.
I mean,
Some players do. Some players will.
We had some.
But if you went down percentage-wise, who's really going to where's the problem going to come from? Just what percentage of people are going to be a problem in this going forward? I would say it's if you have, say, 1,000 players in the NFL, right? And you're going to have a problem with like 15 to 20% of the guys.
Yeah, but you got to figure out when you drafted two and you invested that money. They did this with Des and they hired a private guy to follow him around.
Let me finish,
all the time.
Right? Let's say 15 to 20% of the players in the NFL are going to have a problem playing alongside a gay teammate. Now pull all the and get a real honest answer from GMs and coaches and players and player personnel guys. How many are going to have a problem? I bet it's higher. I bet you're going to have more problems percentage-wise.
Here's what's going to happen.
With the people running things than the people actually in the locker room.
Here's what would happen if you would run a private survey to where the name's not announced. It's anonymous. You would probably have a higher portion of that team that would have a problem with it than you put a guy on record and say, would you have a problem? Of course he's going to say no. You're going to get in trouble if you don't. That's the way I think people look at it.
That's why I say if you were able to get an honest answer from these players, coaches, GMs,
What if your kid's in high school and he's getting recruited? Does the money angle, because you run an organization, this is your job, this is your team, does the money angle get him off the hook for asking this question? Or are they not off the hook at all for asking it? The investment, the amount of money for a top pick, you're investing the money, we got to figure out things about this guy. What if it's a college just coming in to recruit your kid and that's asked? What if this happens at the high school level? How would you react as a parent? How would you react as the player? Think about that. We'll talk about this more.
All right. We'll also talk about what they did in Kansas City, which is head-scratching, too, as we continue here.
A lot of people in trouble here, especially a guy you used to work with.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and for Beetle here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Good to have you with us. Take your calls, 617-779-0985. So there was another, I guess, morality-laced story in the world of sports here in the last day or so, Zoe, and that is the Kansas City Royals. They're holding anti-pornography seminars for players at spring training. They're taking a stand against porn. Minor league players last week had to attend a presentation put on by an anti-porn group known as Fight the New Drug.
Known as NoPorn.com.
Clay Olson, who is a co-founder of Fight the New Drug.
Clay.
Talked to players at spring training.
First of all, your name's like made out of a compound you mold things into.
All right.
Clay. Then you put it in the oven and you heat it and you put it in a kiln.
The nonprofit posted photos to Instagram of players attending their workshop. And it said, we're inspired that they're stepping up to the plate.
Don't we have a workshop next week?
Yeah, but how can we attend? It's like while we're on the air.
That's awesome.
Fight the New Drug describes itself as a group focused on raising awareness on pornography's harmful effects using only science, facts, and personal accounts.
Good boy.
The group states that it is not religiously affiliated. I am looking at one of the photos that they posted to Instagram, and there are many, many folded and crossed arms.
It's very wound up tightly. You know what we get? Let's get guys in here just they're so high strung that have no release whatsoever on anything, and you guys just sit there and take it. It's going to be a long year, guys. 162, let's go.
So, good at reading body language.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever seen you with your arms crossed.
That hurts.
It's very rare that you want to know why? Because you're very open to everything, right?
Yeah.
Like, come talk to me about it. I'm not ignoring you. I'm not shutting down. You don't do that.
Bosses are arm crossers. You know, you go in and see Schmatz and Mike Turner, one scratches his head, the other's got his arms crossed, you know?
Okay.
There we go.
But it's generally indicative of somebody who is not picking up what you're laying down.
Right.
A lot of folded and crossed arms in that spring training meeting room there for the Kansas City Royals. The Vice President of Communications and Broadcasting, Mike Swanson from the Royals, said that the seminar was mainly for impressionable minor league players and that the pornography discussion was just one part of the off-field education.
This is amazing.
The team provides to players.
So a pro team is going to have this seminar to... We're going to nip this thing in the bud that these 18, 19, what, 20-year-old kids that come in here are going to see porn for the first time. We're going to tell them no. These guys have been doing it for about 10 years.
Now, do you remember when we talked about this the first time?
Yeah.
It was because of in Kansas City, Dayton Moore is the GM. Mm-hmm. And they had a pitcher who got arrested on a DUI charge named Danny Duffy. So Moore, in his comments afterward, talked about the leadership activities that the team provides the players. And here's a quote. "We talk about pornography and the effects of what that does to the minds of players and the distractions and how that leads to the abuse of, the domestic abuse of, to women. And I thought we were talking about a DUI charge." And he starts talking about... Do you know what this tells me? And it's no... And no of course... And any kind of domestic abuse, and none of that is to be taken lightly. But the guys at the Kansas City Royals are obsessed with porn. They're obsessed with pornography, though. It's not the GM is talking about porn when one of the pitchers gets popped for DUI, and now they're having a seminar that everybody at the minor league camp has to go and attend.
So there really wasn't...
Sit here and listen to talk about the evils of pornography.
There really wasn't a porn incident, right, that triggered this? See, I played with a guy.
We should only be so lucky.
I played with a position that was so stupid. It's one of the dumbest individuals I've ever been around.
You've said his name before.
I did?
Yes.
And it wasn't here. It was on another team, and we were traveling to an away game. And this is right when the laptop computer was like one of the biggest things. It was,
they're new and they're neat.
Yep. It's like when the flip phone came out, that Motorola Razr flip phone, and you had to have them. So he had like the biggest one you could buy. He put it right on his lap, right there. And he would have so much porn downloaded on it, and he would watch it on away games. I'm talking about on an actual flight to where the flight is being worked by multiple flight attendants. I would say 5 would be women, 2 would be men. And he would just have it open, going, "Whoa, look at this one." And we're in the back going, "This is going to be a problem."
Come on, who is it?
I'm not going to say it. Not going to say it.
He's a quarterback.
Yeah. He's a high draft pick with the Virginia Tech. And it's not Mike Vick, so. I just never thought anybody would be that dumb. Like, hey, in the open. Not hiding it. Hey, look how cool this computer is. it's amazing. I mean, that's a team environment. People on the outside that don't understand how crazy a locker room is. And going back to some of these investigations as to, the locker room language. Like, LeBron James, remember when he came out and said, "I'm so offended by anybody that would use those type of words in a locker room." Are you crazy?
Right. But so, this is what really puzzles me about it. Some of the seminars you've talked about that you had to sit through as a rookie, right? And this essentially, we're talking about guys in camp for the minor league team. So these are a lot of young players or whatever, but some of them knew whatever. When they sat you down and said, "Guys, here's what you need to do with your money. Maximize the league's 401k.
Yep.
Do this with your check.
We're going to double match it."
Right.
"We're not only going to match it, we're going to double it."
Right. Stuff like that makes sense. Good. You should have that stuff. Things like this, hold on 1 second here, please, sir, if I may raise my hand. This is still a job, right?
Yeah.
I'm here to do a job. You're going to pay me. Hopefully I'm going to make the big club one day. And understand you want us to all act like upstanding individuals, but now you're talking into choice stuff.
Yeah.
This is not
what team is this again?
This is not the difference between fiscally responsible and blowing all your money. This is not a discussion about doing something legal or illegal. We're talking about, you don't want me to watch porn? You're going to make me sit through a seminar about that's against porn? Now whether you agree with that or not, I'm offended that you think...
We don't want you to buy SUVs. We don't want you to buy gas guzzlers. You people are going to have Earth cars. You're all going to have Priuses.
Now we're going to sit down.
What team's this?
And we're going to talk...
What team's this again?
Kansas City Royals.
Oh, what sport do they play?
baseball.
Is there any problems in that sport at all?
There's a few problems.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd worry more about the other problems than you're going to tell which player and what player you can't watch porn.
But that's a great example. Now you're going to sit through a seminar on why you should buy a hybrid instead of, you know, that tricked out Humvee that you see other players. And we're
we have a guy comes in at 2 o'clock and wipes down. He's become such a type A personality that now he has actual green organic wipes that smell god awful. That'd be like coming in to do a seminar and saying, you know what? You're not going to lose Clorox wipes anymore because they have all these contaminants in it, and there are these things, and they're going to make you more unhealthy, and it actually doesn't kill the germs. We want you to buy the green ones. From now on, you can only wipe down with green wipes.
You almost landed that plane.
Yep.
It was circling. It was up there, and it was... Yeah. All right, Sarge has your headlines here. He's been over there typing furiously. What is it? Was there a...
What's that, the script to your new video?
Oh, yeah.
Huge
no, we'll
free agent
that.
Signing over there? Was there a
no,
trade?
Not really. Just, you know.
What do you got?
Correcting all your errors on the last
Tiger
headline.
Woods stuff.
Oh,
we do have some developing Bruins news.
Good. Well, then listen for it right now as Sarge gets us updated here.
Sports Hub headlines.
What you call a big market tease. Bruins close out the homestand tomorrow against the Blackhawks. That'll be the first of a home and home. Bruins winners of 5 in a row after last night's 3-2 win over the Flyers. Brad Marchand scored his 29th of the year with 22 seconds remaining in regulation to break open that 2-2 tie. Today, Brad Marchand fined $2,000 by the NHL for embellishment in the Bruins win over the Penguins last week. Al Horford, 20 points last night as the Celtics beat the Timberwolves 117-109 in Minnesota.
You know, this was a big game. You know, they're a tough team, and we coach really stressed at the level that we needed to play in order to come in here and beat them. And I felt like as a group, we did a good job of that for most of the night.
And the Celtics back to work Sunday night against the Pacers. Jaylen Brown looks like he'll be okay after taking a scary fall on his back end. Neck after a slam dunk in the third quarter did fly home with the team. Red Sox take on the Marlins today in Jupiter, Florida. Chris Sale will make his spring training debut. And at the Valspar Championship round two, Tiger Woods, your leader, 5 under par. One hole left for him on the day. Paul Casey, Brant Snedeker, and Corey Connors all are one shot off the lead. Headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to getanoilchange.com now to save up to $15 on your next oil change. Print out the coupon or pull it up on your mobile device. I'm Mike Riley. I'm Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
I'm going to King Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, 12:38 Friday afternoon. We have a report from Adam Schefter that requires addressing right away. Scott Zolak?
Here we go. Just pop. Seattle Seahawks have informed perennial Pro Bowler cornerback Richard Sherman that they are outright releasing him today per league sources. There you go. No contract guarantees right now. Contract's off the book. Let's go. Let's get on the phones. Wow.
You want that player?
Sherman will be a free agent starting this weekend.
Do you want?
I want that player now. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me why you wouldn't want Richard Sherman on your team.
The double Achilles. The fact that he had both Achilles operated on, but the fact that
start with how much money he's going to make. Who's going to pay him? What's he
going to
end up
making? Now. See, he's 28 years old. So Aqib is what, 31, 32? And Aqib's guaranteed 19. So Aqib's in at just under 10 a year. Richard was slated to make 12 and a half, I think. Richard Sherman, since 2011. Interceptions in the league.
Sherman's
32. That's number one overall. Passes defended, 99. That's number one overall. Completion percentage allowed, 47% against him. That's first in the league. All this since 2011. Passer rating allowed, 50.9. That's first in the league. Wow.
And just for what it's worth, though, Richard Sherman will be 30 years old on my birthday on March 30th.
Okay.
He will be 30 on March 30th.
So he's 29.
Yes.
Not
28.
Here's one more stat here. Lowest passer rating allowed in coverage since 2011.
Like that?
This is versus a minimum 300 targets. Richard Sherman comes in at 50.9. Right after him is A.J. Bouye. Now, he's down where? Jacksonville? Mm. He used to be in Houston. It's a nice little secondary. They got locked up. He's in at 54.9. Casey Hayward after that at 57. Marcus Peters, who got traded to the Rams, is there paired with Aqib Talib. That's probably, you know what? That's your second best corner combo right now, the Rams, with Aqib and, Aqib and Marcus Peters. That's your second best one. I think right now the best one is in Jacksonville with Ramsey and Bouye. And then Darrell Revis comes in at 66. So he's 16 points better from a passer rating standpoint in coverage than Darrell Revis was since 2011. He's the best, biggest option out there.
Yes.
And now the fact that they've taken the contract off the books because they're releasing him. Let's go.
The fact is, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money, and you don't know what his health is going to be like.
Problem is, you're paying the other guy.
Two.
Problem is, you're paying the other guy.
He's got two Achilles to deal with.
Yeah.
Can you afford to have a guy on your...
They can't now with Gilmore. Jesus. Because then what are you going to do with Solder? What are you going to do with Gronk? What are you going to do with Brady?
See, to me, this is as enticing as it might be to have that guy on the team, and just for the entertainment factor, too. We were talking about it the other night. And I know Felger wants him here because he thinks he's a smart guy and it'd be an interesting dynamic to see how that goes back and forth with Bill. You know, Bill likes smart guys. I think Bill likes football players. I think Bill likes football players more than he likes smart guys. You know, give him the choice between what type of player
Coney
you want
Ealy
on your
seemed
team.
Real smart.
Yeah, but the fact is he likes guys who can just go out there and play multiple positions.
Is Kenny Britt here because he's smart? Kenny Britt, is he here because he's smart?
And
I don't
by
think
the
so.
Way, the only reason why I think anyone says Richard Sherman is such a smart guy is because he'll tell you how smart he is. Did you know he went to Stanford? Because he hasn't said so in the last minute and a half.
Eloquent speaker.
Oh, he brings it up all the effing time. You want to know why I think he may not be so smart?
I think you got a problem with Richard Sherman.
Because he always talks about how smart he is. Now he went to Stanford. I'm sure he went through the same classes that, everybody, all the kids would go to Stanford
Andrew Luck?
To be doctors and rocket scientists.
Oh, guess who else went to Stanford? Jordan Richards.
You know,
he's from Stanford.
Right? Because, Zoe, you also know that student-athletes have the exact same collegiate experience as just students, right? It's the exact same thing.
I'll say it. It's probably different than, say, Florida.
It's
or Georgia.
And it is different than Florida and Georgia and Michigan State, but you're still there. He was still there at Stanford on a scholarship to play football. That's what he was there to do. Don't tell me he was there as a student. Oh, but he went back to start his master's in his fifth year of eligibility. Okay. Don't tell me that. It's not the same. I'm sure he's a fine, intelligent human being. I don't think he is some superior intellect that is going to just astound us with his insights and somehow make it a more enjoyable experience to watch the Patriots. Can he play? Can he play?
Yeah, he can still play at an extremely high level. I think he can.
With the double Achilles going on, Zoe, I don't... That's the biggest thing. Why?
That's the number one thing.
Why the Seahawks releasing him? Why are they saying, goodbye, you can go do whatever you want?
They're in rebuild, which is amazing. You know,
it's funny, these teams just can't keep it rolling.
You know, that's one thing about New England, they can keep it rolling.
But if you got a couple
of sitting here talking about Solder and potentially Deion Lewis and these guys, because you eventually got to say goodbye to good players.
Yeah, but if you got a couple, even if you're rebuilding, you got to hang on to a couple of players. What are the two players you're going to hang on to? Quarterback and cornerback.
Right.
Those are the two guys you're going to hang on to. And they said, okay, you can go. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
So the,
see, that's the one thing that could keep Price from not getting crazy.
But someone,
because really, you got
someone
be,
will still pay him a
you
crazy
still,
price.
Even if you have crazy money to spend, I mean, here's another thing. Doesn't the San Francisco Giants have a ton of money to spend in the offseason? Weren't we told that they're going to build it around Garoppolo?
49ers.
That's what
Giants
I said.
You said the Giants.
I said that?
Yeah, they're a baseball team.
Are you serious?
Yes.
You
oh
said
my
it.
God.
Just like Sarge, Sarge said they won in overtime last
night.
So
if you're John Lynch in that, don't you? Is it this like majorly on your radar? To your point, Hardy, someone's going to give him crazy money. Holy crap, the Rams just countered with Tlaib. So they're going to pair Tlaib and Peters against us with our young quarterback. And we got to face them twice a year in the AFC West. Shoot, we got to go get Sherman. We got to counter what they do.
Right.
That's what you do in your conference. That's what you do. You watch other teams. You try and balance it. You adjust your roster every year to face the schedule you're going to face.
We got loaded lines here on
what do you want him
Richard
to do, folks?
Sherman. Let's see.
Is it go time?
Let's get to one or two here before we step aside. We'll start with Steve and Everett. Steve, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Steve?
Mike, I got a question for you, man. If you say that Bill Belichick is a football player guy and he likes football players, if Richard Sherman was to ever dress up as a Patriot, wouldn't you feel kind of guilty to be a Pats fan and a football fan to see Richard Sherman in place of Malcolm Butler?
I think they should have done right
by Butler. No, it's a massive upgrade. And I love Malcolm Butler. You know my thoughts on Malcolm Butler. Richard Sherman's up there, man. He's in another tier. There's only a handful of those guys. Darrelle Revis was one of them. You went and got him. And you paired the perfect guy opposite him in Brandon Browner. See, that's why I wanted Tlaib. Because I think you have that smooth operator on the other side. Gilmore, he's going to get there.
Yep.
Then you got to get the other guy on the other side that's going to knock your you-know-what in the dirt.
Right.
And then rip your chain off and then shove it up your you-know-what. And then he's going to talk crap on your mama because that's what he does. Little attitude.
Yeah.
That's why I love Tlaib.
A little crazy on the other side.
What scares me is the two cerebral players. Now it'll be a hell of a pairing. Sherman's big, too.
Get Matthew Slater in the same room. I'm going to rework the Pythagorean theorem.
Jordan Richards, Matthew Slater, and all the other smart guys. They talk about Gronkowski as football smarts.
We'll grab one more here quickly. Scott and Gardner, what do you got?
Hey, Zoe and Hardy.
Hi.
I think we should go after Sherman, but not for his veteran experience.
Of course, but at what price? Where do you say stop?
I would say about $8-9 million.
I agree with that.
All right.
I think that's the number.
Thanks, Scott.
That's coming down from 12. And see, that's the thing too. From an ego standpoint, could Sherman take the ego hit? And does he want to sign a 2-year deal and prove something?
You know what?
Sign again.
He's getting signed by the Patriots. That should alleviate any ego hit that the Patriots want you to play football.
If I'm San Francisco, I go get his ass, and I say we got more money to spend than anybody. So Richard, just don't visit anywhere. We want you. We want to compete with the Rams.
Richard Sherman. Released by the Seattle Seahawks. We're talking about it with you, 617-779-0985. Hardy in for Beetle on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Obviously, there have been a lot of rumblings about Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
What do you know about him? What kind of addition would he be if it ever ended up coming to pass?
I know Richard Sherman. I talked to him at the Pro Bowl. He's a great player, great person. Anytime you can have somebody like that on your team, it'd be a great thing. But you never know in this NFL, anything can happen. So, but if he did, the skies would be the limit.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people looked at you on the other side with Buffalo and figured, we'll never see Gilmore in New England as a Patriot.
Yeah, you just never know in free agency. I didn't think I was going to be here, but, it happened. So, I'm happy to be here.
It is 12:53. Zolak and Bertrand on a Friday afternoon. Hardy in for Beetle. Stephon Gilmore talking about Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman released by the Seattle Seahawks today. I'm going to sign with whoever he wants, though. I'm going to go pick a team. A lot of teams are going to want to sign him. Let's go pick one.
Miss again because you don't have the money. You don't want to spend the money. You have the money. You just don't want to spend the money. That's why you got to be careful.
How dire of a situation is it, though, for the Patriots? To me.
Who's your starting running back week one? Not that that matters. You're going to find guys and draft guys, and I know that. They've done that with Ridley, with Vereen. They've rebuilt it through the draft. They found Deion Lewis off the scrap heap. James White wasn't a high pick. There's going to be backs out there.
Running back doesn't bother me.
It bugs me a little bit because I think he's more than what he gets credit for. Because he can run the ball now, too.
I thought he was preaching to the choir. Hey. I'm the guy who loved Jonas Gray. I'm the guy who loves every running back.
You're stupid.
I know. Every running back who plays with his team, who scores a couple of touchdowns, I turn into Chicken Little. I'm like, how are they going to get by without LeGarrette Blount? How are they going to get by without... So, fine. I have finally seen the light on that one. Doesn't matter who the Patriots get. They're going to make it work. At running back, that'll be fine. That one doesn't bother me. The timing on this one is difficult for the Patriots, though. You got Nate Solder that you got
to figure out. It's your window, man. Yeah.
You got to figure out Nate Solder. Oh, there's somebody at my front door. Hold on. Let's see what this is.
The hell is that?
Like tubular bells.
Hmm. Oh, package, of course. All right.
That is awesome.
I like it, yeah.
What is that?
It's like the thing you hang up outside your door.
Really? Is that an app?
Well, yeah, that's just the
sound. Is that like the Nest? You got the Nest?
That's the sound effect of it. That is Ring.
We got the Nest thermostats, not to get off topic here.
No, we're already off.
The ones that's all like online at, like, and you put on your app, I'll sit there in the car and I'll just keep adjusting the temperature. Look at this.
Yeah.
69.
I like to change.
I take pictures of it every time it hits 69. I'll set it to Gronk.
The timing of the Richard Sherman availability is tough for the Patriots because right now, what is their main concern? It's got to be a combination of Nate Solder and Rob Gronkowski. Nate Solder is something you have to work with. Rob Gronkowski is something that he wants you to work with. But both of those have to be addressed, I think, before you start figuring out who you're going to have at corner.
Okay, what's the gap between Eric Rowe and Richard Sherman?
It's a pretty big gap.
How about from a monetary standpoint, when they look at it and value it, is the gap worth it?
It may not be big enough to warrant that kind of money.
Well, I think it is, because if it's not, I'm going to put my head here on this thing, and you can pound it with a sledgehammer. Okay? We've done this. We've talked about this for 3 days. You knew this was going to start. First domino fell last night. Aqib Talib traded to the Rams. Seahawks announced today, Richard Sherman's going to be released. He's going to become a free agent this weekend. Are you in or are you out? Is it snip, snap, snip, snap? I'm in. Done messing around.
Albert Breer just tweeted.
What'd he tweet, twerp?
Richard Sherman tells me he's been released. Quote, they wanted the financial flexibility going into free agency, but expressed that they wanted me to return and will be in contact.
Wow. What a nugget there. Gee, I didn't know that Seattle was meeting with him the other day about his future and that he was making too much money.
Okay.
And he refused to take a pay cut.
Okay.
Come on, Bert.
Albert spoke with Richard Sherman.
He had a little thing right there. Say the money's not right. We want you to come back. So they're not ready to cut ties totally here. So it's a release to get them cap relief before free agency starts.
Well, how did
if you don't think that marketer is what it is, Richard, you come back.
Those scenarios generally don't play out with players of Richard Sherman's.
See, he's in a stratosphere, man.
Caliber.
Problem is, he's got two Achilles, which holds it down a little. That gives you a shot. If he's totally healthy and this happens, we ain't even talking about it. Okay, we ain't. No way. No two ands, ifs, or buts about it. Not even addressing it. The fact he's got two Achilles injuries gives you an opportunity because of who you are and what you've been. Now, do you want to roll the dice a little bit? There's a little dice rolling here. I mean, when Gilmore came here, I thought, boy, he's going to lock up, and we're going to be good, and we're going to roll coverage with Malcolm. Secondary was a disaster for 6 weeks.
It's absolutely a dice roll. You have to take on faith that on the medical reports or on what he says, everything rolled together. And if it says, okay, they say he can play, he says he can play. When you have those injuries on both Achilles and you're gonna put him out there in coverage and you're expecting him to be shut down Richard Sherman, yes, that's rolling the dice.
Shut down Richard Sherman. I like that. Shut down Richard Sherman.
Let's get to your calls. 617-779-0985. Steven in New Hampshire, go ahead.
Guys, I can't even believe we're talking about Richard Sherman right now. The guy is coming off two Achilles surgeries, okay?
Yeah, you're not paying him $12-13 a year.
Let him go for the year. Let him sign with San Francisco for 1 year and see how he does. And then open up the conversation again next year.
What the hell? I want to sign a 31-year-old then.
And I can't believe we're even talking about a running back for the Patriots right now. The Patriots are one of the few teams in the league who are such a threat in the air that you could literally put a handicapped kid back there.
Okay, see you, Rich. We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
No. No, yeah, sorry about that.
I can do that one.
Now, I don't know if Richard Sherman is gonna make sense.
What does Steven want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? These are major
issues the Patriots have right now. As good as they are, yes, we understand that, that they're still going to put up yards and points to his point. So if you just throw Gillislee back here, do you think it happens? How about Brandon Bolden? I still signed him back. Just throw him back there. How about that?
All right,
hey, you know what? Bring back up. We got Dwayne Allen. No, you just put him out there.
You don't have to get crazy.
Oh, you want to get crazy? We'll get crazy.
Josh and Raleigh has a question.
Put Malcolm Mitchell out there with his crutches.
Josh and Raleigh has a question about this. Go ahead, Josh.
If you guys covered this already, I apologize. But
that's okay.
You know, I'm wondering if Richard Sherman's his own agent, have we lost all leverage now that Aqib Talib is out of the question?
I thought so at the start of the show, but you got to remember that Richard's got the Achilles injuries.
He's not holding all the cards.
He's not.
With any team that he talks to.
He called his release, is what he did here. Because he told Seattle met with him to say, hey, we want you to take a pay cut. We want you to finish your career here. He said, go pound sand. Contract's a contract. I'm not taking a pay cut. You forced me to release you, is their response. That's what he forced. That was his leverage. Now he's out there, open market, reset the price. Is there some bat bleep crazy team like the San Francisco 49ers that has cash that says, you know what, we got to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stick it to Seattle probably. In the process.
Because
love it. Love it.
From who I talked to yesterday, there's at least two teams out there that think they're going to pay Nate Solder $13 million a year.
As good as a story as it would be to have him on the Patriots, is it a better story if Richard Sherman goes to the San Francisco 49ers?
Of course it is. It's in our division.
Of course. Jason on the Cape, what do you have?
Hey, so Richard Sherman. So how does this sound? I mean, this is what I think it looks like if the Patriots are going to go after him. Why? And use his own little kind of savviness, you know, own agentness against him, if you will. And just throw him like a 3 or 4 year contract with less money incentivized. I mean, what's wrong with that? If he's as good as he thinks he is and claims he still is, then throw some bonus money in there for performance and roster bonuses and whatnot.
How do you do that with corners though, Zoe? Because if a corner's really, really good, then he's not going to be targeted all that often. I mean, what kind of bonuses do cornerbacks have? Can't be for interceptions. Some of the best corners in the league have very low interception numbers.
Well, I mean, what was it for Malcolm? How about 98% of the snaps played defensively?
Yeah.
You're top in the league for 4 years. I don't know.
But
what
if you get Richard Sherman, that's obvious. Yeah, he's going to play. So what else is there?
Games played. It's games played.
All right, so it's all bait.
Snap percentages, 80% of defensive snaps.
So you
year.
Bring it back on him on those.
You cheer
on those
You do what you do what you did for to Gronkowski to say we're going to dangle that carrot in front of you a little bit.
All right. 90 seconds here. Sarge gets
his
updated.
That's an interesting thing because Gronkowski was often injured as Sherman's now dealing with injuries. You know, we'll pay you, but you got to play.
Okay. All right. Sarge, update. Then more of your calls. Richard Sherman released by the Seattle Seahawks. Taking calls on that. We got some Red Sox notes to get to also.